Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. It is a great joy for me to be with you this afternoon to celebrate this day in the octave of Christmas, in which we honor Mary, the Mother of God, and the Mother of the Church. And in doing so, to bring to an honorable conclusion this year of 2022, which in spite of its many challenges, both near and far, has nevertheless been a year of grace, because God is continually at work in the world, in each of our lives, in spite of our challenges, our weaknesses, and our sinfulness. It is also entirely fitting to be here together in this church dedicated to the Blessed Sacrament in order to conclude for us in the Diocese of Wichita this year of the Eucharist. Of course, like you, my thoughts are also on Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, who passed away earlier today. 95 years of age and many, many years serving the church as a priest, a bishop, a cardinal, and then elected as our Holy Father. Pope Benedict XVI left an incredible legacy. He loved the liturgy. He wrote prolifically and beautifully on the Eucharist. And an apostolic exhortation that I would highly recommend for all of us is Sacramentum Caritatis, the sacrament of charity, in which he brings forth the rich tradition of our faith in that devotion of the Eucharist that should be central to each of our spiritual lives. Here in this parish, as you know, our people have been encouraged to come throughout this year of grace to receive the plenary indulgence. And so I come here tonight not only as your bishop and the presider and preacher at this special Mass, but also, like you, as a Eucharistic pilgrim, and with you to beg the Lord for an abundance of graces for each and every one of us, for myself, for our priests, for our consecrated religious, in all of our parishes, for each of you and your families, and for all the families, and indeed all the people of God who make up the Diocese of Wichita. These graces we know and are confident flow from the mystery of the Eucharist, the most blessed sacrament, which we acknowledge as the source and the summit of the Christian life. Throughout this year of the Eucharist for us, we have attempted to bring to the minds and hearts of our people the privilege to celebrate the Mass, to receive Holy Communion, and the necessity of being a Eucharistic people. We have done so focusing on four aspects of this mystery of our faith. The first is what we believe to be true about the Eucharist, that here bread and wine are no longer mere symbols, but truly, substantially, the body, the blood, the soul, the divinity of Jesus Christ after the consecration of the priests. Though we see them still as bread and wine, hidden behind those outward appearances is the real presence. And if you and I are truly Eucharistic, we must proclaim that to the rooftops. We must not shy away from this fundamental teaching of our Eucharistic faith. Secondly, something near and dear to your heart in this church, which claims the honor of having our first adoration chapel, followed by so many others, well over 50 throughout our diocese. But here it began so many years ago, to adore the Blessed Sacrament, to spend time with Jesus, who remains with us in our tabernacles for private adoration. And then when we bring that Blessed Sacrament and place it in the monstrance, to do it publicly, to spend time in adoration, to do homage, to be with the Lord who changes us. And that time we spend with the Lord in adoration, which we encourage you to continue or to bring even a greater part of your life to, that changes us all for the better, making us more in his image and likeness. Thirdly, we reflected on how to celebrate the Eucharist, to do it with joyful anticipation, to do it with proper preparation, and with anticipation of what is about to happen and what does happen when we gather for Mass each and every day, bringing to that a proper disposition, free from mortal or grave sin, and then bringing ourselves humbly and reverently to receive our Lord in Holy Communion, letting that mystery truly transform us as we participate in it each time we come to Mass. And finally, this aspect that will soon be released in our fourth meditation as we conclude this year of grace, how to live the Eucharist, how to be a Eucharistic people beyond the church where we celebrate the Mass and where we adore the Blessed Sacrament, how to be a Eucharistic family and a people in our homes, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, how to live the sacrament of charity by extending the graces that we receive here in how we live and how we relate, and letting that grace flow through us to transform not only ourselves but the world around us. This is the Mass. And what a privilege, what an honor it is to be present at any Mass, at each Mass, at every Mass. Without the Eucharist, we would soon die spiritually. But with the Eucharist, we have everything we need, because God promises us that, to become saints. And that's the purpose of the Mass, that you and I would become saints and to reach the goal of our earthly pilgrimage, which is eternal life with God. My friends, the readings for today's liturgy, which are the regular readings for the solemnity of Mary, Mother of God, offer us unique insights as we continue to contemplate the mystery of the incarnation of the Word made flesh at Christmas. And as we witness here once again, bread and wine becoming Christ's true body and true blood. In the book of Numbers, way back into the Old Testament, we heard the words God gave to Moses to use to bless the people of God. Words that are very familiar to us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you kindly and give you peace. But friends, where else would we know this blessing more than at the Mass? For here, behind the veneer of bread and wine, peers through that reality the Lord Jesus himself, looking upon us. His is the face of mercy and tender love shining upon us. And here we know the fullness of God's peace, which the world cannot give. But here we find that, which is right relationship with God, a confidence that God is present in our lives. And though we suffer and we experience great trials and tribulations and hardships, here we find peace to live in the midst of that kind of suffering. The Mass, then, is the greatest source of blessing for us, and that's how we should look at it. That's how we should view it and relate to it. Not an obligation. Please, please, let's let that go, the obligation, which is always there, but to realize what a blessing it is for us to be at the Mass each and every time we participate. St. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, speaks of our privilege to call God Abba, Daddy, or Father. Why? Because we are no longer slaves, but now sons and daughters. And as sons and daughters, we sit at the family table There is a rightful place for you here, as there is for me, because we have been chosen for this grace. And finally, in the gospel, we heard how the shepherds went in haste to Bethlehem, and there they found Joseph and Mary and the child lying in the manger. That scene is so beautifully portrayed for us in every nativity scene that we see in our churches and in our homes today. This image of the shepherds gathering around the Holy Family is so powerful for us. And believe it or not, it is inherently Eucharistic. For we too come in haste to this altar because we are hungry, in need, and like the shepherds, we are searching for something. We are looking for something beyond ourselves, which often leaves us unsatisfied, and certainly beyond anything the world holds up for us to pursue, which is, again, unsatisfying. We continually search and look, as they did, not for something, but for someone. The altar, the central point of each of our Catholic churches, is then the manger where we find Christ, who offers his own body and blood, soul and divinity for us as our spiritual food. And like those shepherds and the Holy Family gathered around Jesus lying in the manger, so too we gather as his family around this manger and look for him here. For from here, if we have indeed encountered him, like those shepherds of bygone ages did, then we too return to our homes, glorifying God for all that we have heard and seen, knowing our lives to be forever changed by this encounter. And all of this is so lovingly and tenderly observed by Mary, the Mother of God and our spiritual mother. Mary, like the good mother that she is, stands among us, stands with us, and reminds us in no uncertain terms to eat of this bread and to drink of this cup, to come regularly and often to the table of the Lord, especially on Sundays and holy days of obligation. For like the mother that she is, she knows that we need this living bread and this saving cup. Without it, she knows we would grow weak in our faith and in our resolve to live a life of a missionary disciple of the risen Christ. Let us then go forth under Mary's mantle of motherly protection and prayer to live the Mass each day and to become what we eat by being in the world as Christ's true friends and disciples, mirrors of his presence and his love, until the day we meet him face to face in heaven, where we will truly spend all eternity glorifying God for all that we have heard, all that we have seen, and here in the Holy Eucharist, all that we have received.